if you have children or grandchildren or whatever, and they're going to bear children, and the mother, the wife, gets pregnant, it might be a good idea for you to try to share with your the woman, the daughter, daughter-in-law, whoever she is or whatever, that she, while she's carrying that baby, she makes sure she doesn't smoke, she doesn't drink, and she eats good food. Do you think that would be good advice for any mother carrying children? I think it would. I think it would. But obviously God had a special plan for this little guy. Let's see what verse 5 and 6 says. You will become pregnant and you will give birth to a son, and his hair must never be cut. Uh-oh. That's unusual, isn't it? But if God gives you that information, that's what you better do. I mean, if God says his hair shall never be cut, hey, you don't want to mess with his hair. Now then, that would have been a tough one for me because I like short hair. You know, but if God told me, I'm going to give you a son, you must never cut his hair. The little guy just have hair. However long it was, it's just going to be there. Because I am slowly learning, if God says something, he means what he says. And if I want to walk in divine health and enjoy life, I've got to do exactly what God tells me in his word. Now, it's nice here when this woman gets a word from the Lord. He comes and tells her these things. But if he tells us these things through his word, isn't it the same thing? Sure, we just listen to the word. For he will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. He will rescue Israel from the Philistines. Okay, now, who was it to turn Israel over to the Philistines? Doesn't this seem a little unusual to you, you know, that God turned them over to the Philistines, and now then God's going to deliver them from the Philistines? But he's going to do it in a strange way. That's when I say, I don't understand God. You know, if I was in charge, you know, the way I do things, I'd have said, okay, boys, you Israelites have messed up. Now I'm going to get the switch out. I'm going to beat all y'all, or I'm going to do this, that, or I'm going to turn y'all over to the enemy for 40 years. And then at the end of the 40 years, I'm going to expect y'all to be good boys. Then I'm going to take the Philistines and tell them to go home, and y'all are going to be okay. That's the way I would do it. You know, but obviously, I'm not God, you know, so I don't understand why God's going to bring a little boy into the world to make him a Nazarite to deliver Israel, unless he's showing us a picture of what he's going to do with his son. You get the gist? See, God shows us different things, doesn't he? How he does things. Did he bring another little boy into the world a few years after that? And did that little boy set the world free? Yes, he did. He set you and me free, didn't he? If we didn't have that little boy today, if he wasn't the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we'd all still be lost in our sins. And I'm so glad he brought that little boy. And he grew up to be the King of Kings, and he died for you and me. But he's showing us what he's going to do here. This boy's going to be dedicated to God from birth, and he will rescue Israel from the Philistines. So it says, the woman ran and told her husband, a man of God appeared to me. He was like one of God's angels, terrifying to look at. I didn't ask where he was from, and he didn't tell me his name. Why do you think she didn't have time to get all that information? She was too terrified. She ain't thinking. It's just like you and me. Somebody said, well, I wish I could see God. I would ask him, you know, this and this and this. I bet if God showed up in your house one day, you'd be just like me. If I were to walk around the corner, and there stands the king. Okay, son, you've been asking me this question. Now then, what question is it you want me to answer? Guess what I'd probably do? I'd probably just fall on my face and stutter. I couldn't even talk. And he'd say, son, go put his hand on my head and say, son, what is it you wanted? And Lord, I couldn't breathe, you know. I thought, God, he's in the house. That's probably what we would do, isn't it? You know, you would be scared. I mean, you'd be rattled, I have to say. I know I would be. But the woman ran. Then in verse 7 and 8, let's see what happened. But he told me, you will become pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink or eat any forbidden food, for your son will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from the moment of his birth until the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed. This is a good thing for all of us as husbands or fathers to do. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, please let the man of God come back to us again and give us more instructions about this son who is to be born. You know, I stand in awe at the men in church today that when things go wrong in their life, they never stop and pray and ask God. I think of the women that come to me for prayer that I say, why do you come to me for prayer since you're married to a Christian man? And their answer is, my husband will not pray for me. I think how sad that is. There should never be a husband in a home that's a Christian that can't pray for his wife and his children. It should become a normal way of life. It shouldn't. You shouldn't wait to pray for your wife until there's a problem. I mean, you ought to be laying hands on your wife as a husband and praying the blessings upon her regularly. Let me tell you, I do that to this woman over here. I pray for this girl many times. In fact, this morning, whenever I went back in there a while ago to, I forget what I went in there for. Something. Anyway, when I went in there, Cheryl was in there, and whenever she got up, or when she was going to go back in the other room, before she went in, I held out both arms like this between me and the door. You know, she just walked right into my arms. I reached up and put my arm on her, put my arms on her back, and I began to pray a blessing over my wife. Now, I think that's what every man should be to his wife. He should pray a blessing over her. Every man should pray a blessing over his wife. You ought to do it regularly. You know, it just should become a way of life. Don't wait till she gets sick or has a problem and comes and says, honey, I need you to pray for me. Pray in advance. You know, blessing her with knowledge and wisdom and good health and prosperity as a man of God. And if you're walking in obedience to God's word, do you think God's going to hear your prayer and answer it for your wife? Of course he is. Of course he is. And so therefore your wife don't have to be sick. She can walk in divine health. You ask her, ask him to wash her in his blood, you know, and make her healthy and well and give her the knowledge and wisdom to do all the things she needs to do in the course of the day. You know, but men ought to be doing that for their children too. But we don't do that for our children either. Then we wonder why we have such a problem with our children. It says, for your son will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from the moment of his birth until the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, please let the man of God come back to us again and give us more instructions about this son who is to be born. I mean, this father, this husband, he wants instructions from God about how to take care of this little son that he knows that God's fixing to give him and his wife. Now, that sounds like good advice, doesn't it? Every man, and I wonder, how many men today, especially young men, that were so far from God, even in the church, how many young men, 20, 30 years old, marries a beautiful woman, the desires of their heart, and then they go home and kneel down beside the bed and pray and ask God to bless them in their life. Lord, as you give us children, we ask you to bless our children. I ask you to bless my wife. I ask you to bless me with knowledge and wisdom so I can be the man of God that will raise your children up in the way you want them to go. Should that be a normal way of life for a young man? Yes, it should be. It should be. But how many, let me just think of you in this room. I won't ask you to hold up your hand. But for all of you women that have been married, let me just ask you this question. I want you to think about this. No, because I don't want you to hold up your hand. How many of you married a man and you went home and the very first thing that he did was kneel down and pray a prayer of faith over you, and every day that he prayed a prayer of faith over you and over your children as your life went through, how many of you were raised in, how many of you had a husband that did those kind of things? Now, like I say, don't hold up your hand, but you know, most women, their husbands, the men they were married to, never prayed. Even when they said they were Christians. I hear this all the time. Women come up and said, I divorced my husband. Were you Christians? Yes, we were both Christians. Did you go to church? Well, a lot. I said, did your husband ever pray over you? No, never. I said, how about when you got sick? No, he didn't even pray over me then. How about the children? No, he never prayed over the children. How about reading the children the Word of God every night like God commands him to do? No, he never had time. And you want to know why your world fell apart? Because you were disobedient to God's word. You know, I mean, you've heard that old proverb, the family that stays together prays together? You've heard that? You know, there's a lot of truth in that. If the man prays for his wife and his children, usually the wife will fall right in there in line with him. I mean, she will love him. She will be a good wife. She'll be a good mother, take good care of him, good care of the children, the house and everything, as long as he is loving her like Christ loved the church. As these children come into the world and he prays over them, God will bless them. But you know, many people have raised children, and of course a lot of them, you know, didn't know Jesus themselves until their kids were grown. And people realize, in fact, I noticed this over and over in my walk with God. You take a couple and they get married and they have two sons or two children. And they're not born again. Those children are wild. They sow their wild oats. They're out doing all kinds of dumb things that's wrong. And then somewhere along the line here, say after 10 or 15 years, they had the first two in those 10 years early. And then after 10 or 15 years, they both found Jesus. They got saved, started going to church, and then all of a sudden they had two more children. You know, after that. And the difference between those two sets of children is like day and night. This two over here that was born after they got saved, they don't sow their wild oats. They're totally different. They're easy to lead to Jesus. You know, it's just amazing the difference whenever you're obedient to God and when you're disobedient to God. And sometimes this first two, you don't never get them saved. You can pray for them. You can do everything you want to. And sometimes you don't never get them saved. But the ones that were born after he accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, usually those are not too hard to lead to Christ. You know, when you take children to church all the time, and in fact, I got real tickled the other day. My little 4-year-old granddaughter, Madison's 5? Wow, how fast life goes. Okay, my 5-year-old granddaughter, she was over here at church the other Sunday when we baptized somebody after church, and she saw him get baptized. Well, after we baptized them, she come out here and says, Granddaddy, I want to be baptized.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, God's Ways Are Not Our Ways, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.